Did the Buddha introduce the practice of merit sharing? Some people think the practice of merit sharing was not introduced by the Buddha, but it developed later stages. Some others think during the lifetime of the Buddha, the practice of merit sharing existed. However, it became popular only after a few centuries of his passing away. There is also philosophical controversy. If one is responsible for one's own karma, then how can sharing of merits work? So these are the three concepts that I'm going to share today in this talk. Before we proceed further, let's ask the question, what is merits? Once Buddha addressed the monks and said these words, "Monks, do not fear meritorious deeds." This is an expression denoting happiness. What is desired, agreeable, dear, and that is merits. For long, I have experienced pleasurable and favorable results by often performing the great meritorious actions which are desirable, agreeable, and pleasant actions. So these are the meritorious actions. You can find the entire passage of what I just summarized in Iti Uttaka. Merit is a term that we use to mean the most beautiful and pleasant actions that human beings are capable of doing. When we do these actions, we become so happy and joyful. It's a kind of spiritual joy. So the Pali commentary explains it as cittang punatiti punyang. When we do wholesome actions, our mind becomes elated, joy, and a kind of bliss and happiness experienced. This is what we call merits. And the Buddha says, punyanche puriso kaira, kaira tetang punapunang. A person who does meritorious actions does those meritorious actions again and again and again because he enjoys merits. Tamhi chandang kairata suko punyasa uccheyo. Increasing of the merit is also the increasing of the happiness. So these are the most beautiful actions which are ethically praiseworthy, socially beneficial, and karmically productive, bring pleasant results. These are, generally speaking, positive, constructive, and wholesome actions. That's what we mean by the term merits. Now, when it comes to the concept of sharing the merits, we can ask the question whether Buddha directly introduced the practice of sharing of merits. In order to understand this, we need to look into the early suttas. When we go to the early suttas, we can see, in fact, Buddha encouraged all his followers to do merits for themselves rather than depend on another person. He always encouraged to depend on oneself and do merits for one's own future. In Ayyaka Sutta that we just discussed last week, we came across the passage the Buddha is saying, all the living beings die. Sooner or later, they come to the end of their own life. But the death is not the end. Beyond the death, one is going to be born, depends on one's own wholesome or unwholesome karmic forces. Then thereafter, Buddha said, Tasma kareya kalyanam nityam samparayikam punyani para lokasmin patitta honti panina. Therefore, a wise human being should do wholesome actions, meritorious actions, as a collection of wholesome forces for future life. And once we are dead and gone, it is the merits that will come forward for our support in our next life. So in this sutta, as well as many other discourses, Buddha directly encouraged each and every one of us to do the merits for ourselves. However, we also can see the practice of merit sharing existed during the lifetime of the Buddha. Particularly if you were to look at Udai Sutta, Brahmin Udai came to the Buddha and asked whether the Buddha praised sacrifices. The Buddha said, he does not praise sacrifices where animals are slaughtered. However, the Buddha said, he praises and accept the invitation of the sacrifices which involve dana ceremonies. The term sacrifice is used to mean here the dana ceremonies conducted in the name of the departed ones or any other auspicious occasions. So Buddha, in fact, in this sutta, and openly accept the invitations for such kind of practices. Not only that, Buddha encouraged to share the merits with departed relatives and friends. If you were to look at Sigalovada Sutta, look into this sutta, and when the Buddha talked about the duties of children towards parents, the fifth duty Buddha said, Atavapana kalakatanang petanang dakkinaṃ anupadassati. Once after mother and father, they are dead and gone, then the children must do wholesome actions, meritorious actions in the name of the departed parents. So this is given as the fifth duty of children towards parents. So in this particular sutta, we can see Buddha in fact encouraged merit sharings. There's another interesting discourse, Tirokudda Sutta. In Tirokudda Sutta, Buddha not only mentioned that merits is the support for those who are dead and gone, he also mentioned who can in fact share the merits. In this discourse, we can see the sharing of merits is possible with those departed ones who appear with their mind-made body, which is known as Manokaya. Some people after the death, they are born in divine realms, or some others might be born in lower realms. And there can be some situations where the departed ones will appear with their astral bodies, and they will come back to their own house and might hang around. And this concept is also shared by Mahayana Buddhist school, popularly known as intermediate state. In Theravada Buddhist school, we use the term Gandhabha state. However, even though there is some philosophical differences between these two schools when it comes to the point where the rebirth is immediate, but both schools share the same concept. So these are the beings who are having subtler bodies, energy bodies, who appear with their mind-made body and shadow-like beings, and these are the ones who can share the merits from Theravada Buddhist school point of view. Now it is very clear for us, in fact, even though we do not see the merit sharing ceremonies exactly the way that we done today is directly related to the discourses, but the concept of merit sharing and practices were prevailed even during the lifetime of the Buddha. And the Buddha, in fact, encouraged them. However, it is also true to say that after the centuries of Buddha's passing away, these practices became more popular and prominent among the Buddhist communities. Perhaps one of the reasons for that is the monastic community settled down in cities and villages, and they interacted more with the lay people. So with the increased social involvement of the Buddhist monks, the merit sharing practices and other religious practices evolved throughout the centuries. So it is also correct to say that merit sharing practices became more popular and prominent after the passing away of the Buddha. Especially if you were to look at the commentaries, we can see sharing of merits as well as rejoicing over the merits. These two actions are categorized under 10 meritorious actions. So in this way, it is It is perfectly all right if someone were to say that merit sharing became popular later stage. Now, there's another very important philosophical point which I just mentioned at the beginning. This is the most important point here, in fact. It's a logical, reasonable argument. Buddhism teaches that one is responsible for one's own action. In Upajjhatana Sutta, the Buddha encouraged his disciples and followers to think kammasakomi, kammadayado, kammayoni, kammabandhu, kammapatisarano, yang kammang karisami kalyanang wa papakang wa tasa dayado bhavisamiti. Constantly remind to oneself that I am the owner of my actions, heir of my actions. I am born from my actions. I have my actions as my support, my refuge. And I'm responsible for whatever good or bad actions I do. So the action responsibility is one of the main teachings of the Buddha. So the question can be asked very logically in that particular case. If one is responsible for one's own action, then how can merit sharing work? How can merit sharing be part of the Buddhist teaching in this particular case? However, this question arises if we look at the merit sharing process as a one-way activity. Merit sharing is not a one-way activity. When you share the merits, then the other party must rejoice over the merits. So it is not a one-way process, but two-way process. When it comes to merit sharing, the two terms, sharing of merits as well as rejoicing over the merits, these two must be completed. And merit sharing process is not a passive receiving process. If you believe that I do merit and then share that merits and that works in that way, and that is, of course, not only one way, that is also a passive way, because the other party simply passively receives. That's not the idea. The other party cannot receive the merits passively. In order to receive the merits, must be active. So actively rejoiced. As long as you see the merit sharing process as one way and passive recipient end, then of course you can ask that question. But if you would look at it, two-way process and active process, then there is no question of how merit sharing is possible and how it can work within the Buddhist philosophy of karmic theory. For example, when you do a particular action and then when you share the merits thinking so and so, be well, be happy, that is what you are doing in your side, from your side, what we popularly call sharing of merits. Then the other party actively must rejoice over their merits. So this process of rejoicing, in fact, is intentional. So without intention, without actively rejoicing and appreciating the meritorious action, that person cannot produce the merits in his mind. So the merit sharing process, you can understand it's like you are providing necessary conditions for another person who is dead and gone and is still hanging around can produce merits in his or her own mind by looking at the process going on. This is what we call sharing of merits. Suppose you prepare some food and lay this food on the table and ask, okay, please come and share this food with somebody else, with your relatives or friends, whoever around. But as long as these relatives or friends of yours who are present there do not have intention to take part of the food, do not have the action of eating the food, their hunger cannot be satisfied. Exactly in the same manner, we need to be active in both sides. The person who does merits must be active in his or her side to create the favorable conditions of producing merits or doing meritorious action. The receiving party in his or her end must be active and must have intention to rejoice over the good actions and produce the merits in her or his mind, and then only the merit sharing is possible. So from the Theravada Buddhist point of view, this is a different concept. It is not a passive way. So when we look at it in this way, then of course, merit is produced by oneself. You are only facilitating. When it comes to the practice of merit sharing, there are many questions, in fact. Last few weeks, we received many questions. So, I do not remember all these questions, but some of those questions which I heard over the last few weeks, as well as some other times, I will bring them up and see how we can understand them. Some people ask the questions, can we share the merits with the departed animal, a pet dog or cat or any other animal? The question is not whether you can share the merits or not. The question is whether the other party can rejoice over the merits or not. Definitely, you can do a meritorious action and you can share the merits. That can be done. Going ahead with the request of the people, we also accommodate and we also engage meritorious actions, and monks also might help to do such meritorious actions in the name of the departed pet dogs or cats. And here mainly we have compassion for living people and we need to relieve the suffering from their mind. And on the other hand, we are sharing the merits. But the question is, the animal who is dead and gone were to be born as an animal, then there's no way for that person to share the merits. The person who dead and gone were to be born in a lower realm, then in that case also, there's no possibility to share the merit. The reason is the negative karmic forces of these beings are more powerful, and there's no way that meritorious power can be reached. And on the other hand, these beings will not be conscious of the meritorious actions that we are doing. After the death, if someone is born as a human being, in that case also, we cannot share the merits, because that particular human being may not be aware that we are doing a meritorious deed. In order to share the merits, the receiving party must be aware of the meritorious action and must rejoice over the meritorious action. In that particular case, the beings with astral bodies, like departed relatives, if they were to appear with their second body and hang around, these beings can see. And if the departed ones were to be born as divine beings, and of course they too can share the merits. In order to share the merits, there are a few conditions. And I can give the analogy, drawing the parallel between a telephone call. When you want to make a call from your side, you pick up your phone and dial a number. This is first condition. Second condition, then the other phone or mobile phone must be in an area where there is reception, and or the mobile phone must be switched on. In that case, if the mobile phone is not in the range of the signal, or if it is switched off, then that process of calling cannot be completed. Thirdly, the other party must pick up the call. This is an active process. And you must pick up the call and then you must talk. The same thing goes with this merit sharing concept. When you share the merits, and that is one way, this is from your side you are sharing, and the other person who is to be received must be in a favorable conditions to receive the merits. So that is why I said, if that person is born as an animal or as a human being or in a lower realm, due to the powerful karmic forces, negative karmic forces, in that case, they cannot receive the merits. In the case of animal or a human being, they, in fact, like the mobile phone is out of the reception. In a case of someone who is with a second body who is hanging around, or a case of a divine being who is still visible, in a situation to share the merits. But on the other hand, there is also a possibility, yes, you are in a position to share the merits, but you do not rejoice over the merits. That is also another possibility. You might see a call is coming, but you consciously decide not to pick it up. In the same manner, it is possible, while we are living here, as I said, in fact, last week, you can do a meritorious actions and then being very happy and joyful about it, and you go and tell this to your husband or wife or somebody, and then the other party will say some nasty thing about it, will not rejoice over it. So in that case, this is like you are aware, but you do not rejoice over. So there are these certain conditions which are necessary to complete the process. Another question that people ask, can we do merits behalf of someone who is sick or behalf of someone else? So the answer is yes, you can do meritorious actions behalf of someone who is sick and wish good health for that person. But it is very important, the person behalf of you that you are, the behalf of that you are going to do the meritorious actions, must be aware of the meritorious action, must rejoice over the meritorious action. For example, someone is in the hospital and you are going to do a wholesome action, and it is good that you let the other person know that you are going to do that meritorious action. If possible, ask that person to concentrate the mind and join with this process. And the modern technology will allow you to connect with the person virtually through video call, and you can participate it. In that case, that person is in fact making merits, having seen that you are doing it on behalf of that person. So that is again important. It can be done as long as the other party approve your action and rejoice over your action. Well, in a case of where the other party is not a suitable condition or favorable conditions to receive the merits, or if the other party does not rejoice over the merits, then should we still share the merits? We still should share the merits. The reason is, when you share the merits, in fact, you are developing your spiritual faculties. When you share the merits, you are doing it out of goodwill, out of friendship, out of compassion, out of metta. It is a form of giving. So each and every time when you share the merits, regardless of the matter, whether the other party receive the merits or rejoice over the merits, regardless of that matter, you are developing your spiritual faculties. So it is a good habit to share the merits. That is why sharing of merits is also included as a meritorious action. Another question sometimes people ask, if I were to share the merits, will my merits be reduced? In fact, this is not so. When you share the merits, your merits will increase. It is a very different idea. It is not a materialistic thing. It is immaterialistic thing. When you share your material things, yes, we can see that the material things reduced. But when you share the merits, what you can see, your merits will increase. The best analogy, the example that I can give is the lighting up a candle, which I said, in fact, last week. Suppose there is only one candle, and this candle is like your mind, which is full of merits after doing the meritorious actions. You are so happy and joyful having done the meritorious action. So when you go and tell this with to another person and say, may you rejoice over this good action, if the other person can genuinely be happy and joyful and produce happiness, spiritual happiness, then that person is also increasing the merits. So this is like taking using a candle which is already lit up to light up another candle. So if we use one candle to light up hundreds of candles, then there are hundreds of candles increasing, of course, the flame. In the same manner, when you share the merits, and if many people can rejoice and become happy and joyful, and the merits is increased in that case, so your merits will not be reduced. And the moment that you think, I don't want to share the merits because my merits will be reduced, you are in fact hindering your own spiritual cultivation, because you become so narrow-minded, so greedy. In fact, you are not making merits in that case. Another question I remember some people have asked some time back, especially in housewarming ceremonies, some people invite the monks for dana ceremonies, and they also do some other meritorious actions. But some people think in such kind of occasions like housewarming ceremonies, we should not share the merits with the departed ones. However, this is not the correct attitude from the Buddhist point of view. Why do you think that they should not share the merits with the departed one in such occasion is because of their superstitious belief that the departed ones will come to this new house and they will hang around and they will not go back. However, that should not be in that way, in fact. Well, we can ask the question. If your mother or father or close relatives and friends, if they were living now, and if you were to have this housewarming ceremony, don't you think that you would invite them to join? You will probably invite them because you love them and you believe that they will bless you. I mean, they will have wholesome thoughts for you. Then, why do we have to exclude our departed relatives and friends when we have a housewarming ceremony or any other special occasions? In fact, we still must remember them and share the merits with them. As Tirokkuda Sutta mentioned, and those who share the merits and rejoice over the merits, they will also in return wish us chirang jivantu no nyati, may my relatives, may you all live longer. So they also have wholesome wishes. So from the Buddhist point of view, there's nothing wrong of sharing merits with the departed ones in auspicious occasion. So this is not the correct attitude or idea or concept according to the Dhamma. In merit sharing ceremonies, especially in the name of the departed one, in some cases we also can see some people share the foods and drinks. They reserve some foods and drinks and leave them in some places. The question is it necessary to do that? From the Buddhist point of view, this is not necessary, because in the teachings of the Buddha, the departed ones or anyone else who is dead and gone and who is having this the astral body and hanging around, they cannot consume foods and drinks. They do not have grosser bodies. Only the merits will be beneficial. So in that case, it is not necessary. This is not an idea according to the Buddhist teaching. However, if you are brought up in a culture where such practices are encouraged and done, and some still believe such practices are beneficial, in that case, of course, you can still continue. Okay, I think this much is enough as a talk. You may have some other questions to ask as well.